It's your man, Eric David Townsend, on this magnificent, marvelous Mystery Artist Monday. What a great day it is to be alive, and I've got him in the studio. He's now my brother. Of course, Roy introduced us, and I was so excited when he did. Dr. Matthew Smith, he is the founder and executive director of Eagles in Leadership. Get the nest now. Get the nest thing. Which is a ministry that helps leaders develop their skills and talents all around the world. And today he's here to talk about reaching our communities in our generation. He will also discuss how he's going to plan to enjoy this pastor's conference. Welcome back to Urban Praise, brother.
Hey, it's great to be back, Eric. Great to be with you. Shanti, good to see you.
Yes.
Great to get to know you.
So you are hailing from the West Coast.
I'm in beautiful Los Angeles. I'm living right next to the beach. I'm telling you,
it's gorgeous. Just
there
rub it in
all
sir.
Year long.
Rub it in some more, if you mind.
You got to do urban ministry in an urban center,
yeah.
So you have to be in an urban center where it doesn't snow, so you can't get home.
So what you're saying is you don't plan on moving to Chicago anytime soon.
Well, God willing, I do whatever He sends me.
I was
going to
say, good answer. Good answer. God willing, right?
God willing.
I'll stay in sunny California.
I'll do anything God wants.
All right, so family's well,
everybody's well.
Good.
Yeah, God's been so good this year.
Yeah,
yeah.
Since we last talked to you, you were in between ministries.
Still am.
Still are.
Yeah, still
okay.
Do. I'm helping urban churches recapture the vision. You know, a lot of times the community goes flip and it just changes. And well, one of the churches I pastored, it was an orange grove, and then it became a suburb, and then it became a city, and then it. Then it became two cities merging together, and then it became kind of like the urban center, and then it became the hood.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what to do, and how in the world do you get that? And I've been trying to help churches this year just try to refocus on getting back on the mission. What do
so,
you do?
So when the demographic changes but the location does not, how do you deal with, do we still make the commute in, or are we going to do incarnational ministry? How will our... the demographics of our church look. Walk us through some of those type of steps and questions even.
Sure.
And then we'll try to see if we can get to a couple answers.
Sure. Well, one of the big problems, you know how churches go. They start, they form, and they're all excited, and they're just like 120% of the reactor. They're just going, they're expanding. Everybody's doing everything they possibly can to get everybody together and get them to Christ. And that works for a little while, and probably, 4 or 5 years, and then pretty soon you got a building, and you got a ministry, and you're doing the things, and you got the nursery, and everybody gets tired.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you know, we got about 180 people here, we're good.
Plenty.
And so they stop reaching anybody, and then they start to stagnate. Now, one of the biggest issues in all of life is we all get older and we all die.
Yes.
And nobody wants to talk about that.
No.
But we all get older and we all die. And most churches I see in urban centers are the people who couldn't get out. The church got older, and they didn't move, but their kids did. So their kids move out in the suburbs, and so all the olders that couldn't move are there in the city. So now you've got these blessed saints who are struggling to keep the lights on, and they're so far distanced from the people that are in the community, whether they're age-wise or whether they're racial makeup or whatever. And so they're just tired. And when somebody should be taking care of the ministry, they're actually doing their second, third, fourth term of office.
Mm-hmm.
And that's too much. And pretty soon it just leads to degradation and death. You talked about, you know, some people drive back in. The last time I checked, if you were on the expressway, the only way you could influence the guy or the gal in the car next to you is if you had an impact.
Sure.
And the only way to have an impact is you've got to be in the same space.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the only way you can have an impact in the community is you've got to be in the same space. And so you've got to do something. And so we start asking churches, who do you have that hasn't left yet? And how do we get them to go? And how do we get them to connect? And so basically we just help them rebirth the vision.
Okay.
The greatest obstacle to that is always that older people always want younger people to come to the church, but they don't want anything to change.
Correct.
And when nothing changes, no one's going to come because
mm-hmm.
things are the way they are because they are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things you have to do, I remember one night very clearly looking at a small group. It was a Sunday evening service. We used to do those. Do you remember Sunday evening services?
I do.
Oh, my. There are still churches who do Sunday evening
services.
I don't know why.
Anyway. Right.
So here we were, and I had my 18 faithful members. I had 5 that were in their 20s, and the others were all 65 plus.
Wow.
And I just said, we're not not doing a Bible study tonight. I just want to talk. And here's what I want to talk about. In 10 years, I'll have buried all of you. And I pointed to the olders. And I said, what am I supposed to do with these five then? And how are we supposed to make things work?
Hmm.
And I stopped. And I let it sink.
Mm-hmm.
And they caught the vision. I said, you're going to have to let us do whatever is necessary. And you're going to hear things and see things and not like things. And that's okay. Because you invested your lives in this place. And your investment's about ready to be lost.
Mm.
And they caught that. And that's what I've been trying to do with urban churches, help them see. The olders need to see they've poured their lives into that block, into that community. And that investment will die with them if they don't change and allow things to happen that are different.
So I guess the question then remains for those who are listening right now or may have experienced something like that. Are you in this to...
In this to win this.
Yeah. Are you in it to win, really win it? Or are you in it so that you can say you had something to do with it while you were here?
Exactly.
You know, is it really about leaving a legacy or is it just about starting something?
And see, one of the things that's really easy, if you can get the vision across,
mm-hmm.
if you can get the vision across, then one of the fun things here is that as you get the vision across, you can say this. If you would just be willing to take three or four or five leaders,
mm-hmm.
if you would be willing to grab them and say, listen, I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
Would you come and help me and I'll buy you lunch? I shared this vision this weekend with a church that I was speaking at here in the suburbs, and they're struggling and they've got this problem. And immediately the lights go on because it doesn't take a lot of hard work. What you have to do is you have to pass the leadership to the next generation. And the easiest way to do that is to just bring them along. Never do anything alone.
Sure.
And so it doesn't matter what the project is, whatever the job is, whether it's visiting somebody, reaching out to somebody, going to the hospital, or fixing the air conditioner, you never do anything alone. And the easiest way to get younger people to come along with you is say, and when we're done, I'll buy you lunch.
Yeah, I'll feed you. Yeah, sure.
And pretty soon, all of a sudden, you've built a repertoire. I know a guy who's got seven young men. He doesn't lift a finger. He walks around kind of like he's the local guy. I mean, he's got everybody connected, and he just speaks, and they are already moving, and they're all in. They're like 30 years apart, 40 years apart.
We got a guy like that too. His name's Monty Larrick. He does pretty well at giving directions. But when you get to a place when you've established a relationship, mm-hmm. a rapport with mm-hmm. young people, and they know that you're willing to listen
mm-hmm.
and hear their hearts,
mm-hmm.
Even hear some of the complaints,
mm-hmm.
Then they'll be willing to lift whatever you ask them to lift at that point.
And that's the purpose of the meal.
Gotcha.
At the meal, fellowship exists. At the meal, relationship goes deeper. And it's the connection of getting both worlds into the other person's head. And as soon as you do that, exactly what you just described happens.
Mm. It's called Reaching Your Community in Your Generation. You got an event coming up here?
I've got an event coming up in Bell Gardens, California. It's going to be great. I don't have anything in the Midwest yet. Love it. I'm taking all of the opportunities that come my way. If people are interested, they can just go to my website, eaglesandleadership.org. They can ask for me to come. And what we do is we can do it on a Saturday. We can do a Saturday-Sunday event. And we help people because their community has changed. And they really want that investment to work. And we help them revision what's going on and give them an easy plan to walk back into it.
I think it's a great way. A great way to start a communication or start a conversation that will end to communication intergenerationally,
yes,
I think.
Yes. Now, I want to be very clear. I want to put a caveat on. This doesn't happen overnight.
Oh, no.
I don't want people to hear me to say it's an easy plan that happens right away. It's
very
an
good.
Easy plan, but it took us 7, 8, 10 years to make that happen when we were doing it. But it's worth it.
Yeah.
Because now that ministry has dozens of 20s, 30s, 40-somethings in the barrio of East L.A. Working in a vibrant church, reaching people for Christ every single week.
And that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
So is it worth the investment? Is it worth the time? Is it worth the effort? Is it worth the stretching? Is it worth being willing to give as well as get? Is it willing? Is it worth willing to change?
And I would say that what you get from what you give is greater than what you give.
That's good.
See, when you give and you're just pouring into somebody, and pretty soon they start mimicking you and they start quoting you. Now, I don't know where you come from, but where I come from, when people quote me, I feel really good. I'm saying when they're quoting me, they're quoting the authority.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But when you've got 10 or 15 or 20 young adults or teens quoting you, isn't that what life was all about anyway? Wasn't that why we didn't want anything to change? We wanted things to be like this because this is what we thought was really good. What we didn't realize was it was about the relationships that don't. That's what doesn't change. The intimacy doesn't change. The closeness doesn't change. And when you pour your heart into people who are in a different generation, transformation occurs. And I've found, with minimal exceptions, I found every young adult is hungering for an older adult to pour their lives into them.
Well, that's good stuff. People want to reach out to you again. How can they do it?
Eaglesinleadership.org. Just go to the website and just get a hold of us. We'll be glad to help.
Can they get book information there? Because you got a book out now and you're working on a second one, right?
Got a book out there. It's Growing Missional Leaders. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of those. New one coming out in the fall in September called Gathering Missional Leaders. First one talks about how do you get a heart to reach your community in your generation. This one talks about how do you build the team and how do you keep them focused to reach your community in your generation.
So you're here for Pastors Conference. What are you expecting to get out of this week?
Well, you know, every time I come to Moody Bible Institute, to Moody Pastors Conference, I always hear God's voice. There's a place not too far from where we're sitting right now where D.L. Moody knelt down and he asked God to give him this piece of property. Every time I come here, God speaks. So I'm just here to hear his voice. What does he want to say? He'll do it through the music. He'll do it through a speaker. He'll do it through a relationship. I built relationship with people around the world at this conference.
So it's a blessing to you.
It's amazing. This is almost my 20th year.
Wow. Well, you don't look a day over. Well, anyway.
15. Thank you.
He tried to get
28. You believe 30?
Right. Okay, I got you. Yeah, we getting closer. That's done. Matthew Smith, y'all. We're going to put the information up on our website. You can go straight to urbanpraiseradio.org and check it out after 6 o'clock, as well as this interview will be up posted as well, so you can revisit some of the great information that you just heard. Man, listen, I'm excited about what you're doing, and
thanks,
glad God's got you in between, because in the in-between, you're giving some good nuggets of wisdom.
God has been so good to just be so faithful in the midst. And for those people who are going through the recession, I've been out of work from full-time employment for 14 months. I just want to say, hang in there. Trust him. Just this last week, a couple that I hardly know, didn't even know their names, they didn't know my name, gave me a $1,000 check because they were concerned for me.
Wow.
Just a neighbor that I happened to walk by their house every day on my run, and they just happened to say, how's it going? How's the job search? How's your finances?
Wow.
Would you take a check?
Wow.
How do you spell your name?
Right.
Well, my name's Matt Smith. It's not very hard, so she just didn't know my name.
Right.
Wow. And she walks out and she hands me a check for $1,000.
Wow.
God can take care of you. Just trust him in the midst of it. And this is where I'm learning the greatest lessons.
That was for me. I want to thank you. God will take care of you. Just learn in the midst of it. You know, that reminds me of a song, God Will Take Care of It All. It reminds me of the song. It's by Joey Wolfolk. It's called God Will Take. You know, and when we think about how much how much all actually encompasses, there it's not everything a lot of times in our book, because we want to hold this piece and hold that piece and go, okay, God, I'll give you all of it except for these. I got these. But when you're able to actually say, I'll give you all of what I have.
Yes.
Everything I have belongs to you. All my joys, all my cares, all my concerns, all my needs. Just my needs. Not even talking about my wants. Just my needs. I will give those to you.
Well, God gives you your needs and your greeds.
Come on.
Because at this event, God has taken care of my finances to be able to even come from California to this event and pay all of the bills that are involved in coming to the pastor's conference. God will take care of your needs and some of your greeds.
What? So you got a little left over so you can...
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Come on. Well, listen, know that it is important that you trust him, no matter whether you're trying to reach your community and your generation or you're trying to flock with eagles. Oh, guess what? Eagles don't flock.
That's right.
Huh? I love that. I love that. Ah! Just want to throw that out there for you. Dr. Matthew Smith, man, thank you so much for coming back, brother.
Thanks,
good to
Eric.
See you.
Always good to see you.
We'll see you next
God
time.
God bless you.